الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آج کا خطبہ بھی گزشتہ خطبات کے تسلسل میں ہے آج
Today is also in continuation of the last week's Friday sermon. Today, those two important aspects will be mentioned, which for fulfilling the rights of the society, to eliminate strife and disorder from the society, to spread peace and security in the society, to establish justice and equity in the society, and to channel one's heart in accordance with the commands of Allah the Almighty, and to fulfill one's pledges, these shed light upon all these aspects. All the Islamic teachings with this respect, which I have explained. Today, criticisms are raised against Islam, that God forbid it contains teachings of harshness and severity, that apart from extremism, terrorism and disorder and strife, it teaches nothing else. An author from the US wrote that in Islam, Friday is God forbid a day of disorder. He wrote a great deal against Islam. The Jamaat contacted that author or that newspaper, wherever it was located. One of our youth wrote about the beauties of Islam in an excellent article. After making further contact, the beauties of Islam and the beautiful teachings of Islam, the objectives of Islam, that is the objectives of Friday. Further, also, I have told them to write about this and such articles through which people can come to know. Today, it is the task of the Jamaat Ahmadiyya alone, furthering the mission of the true servant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they not only defend Islam from the attacks made on it, but rather through arguments and rational reasons, they should silence the detractors. This indeed is our task. However, Allah the Almighty has also made such arrangements on His own, that at times some fair-minded non-Muslims are made to stand up by Him. They then tell others about the qualities of Islam. Subsequently, there is a Catholic Christian who is a scholar and a professor. He wrote an article in the Daily Telegraph just very recently. In that, he praised Islam and the Muslims. He wrote against atheism and some of the nationalistic parties here. He wrote that the high moral values of Muslims and their high teachings, Muslims should make efforts to uphold them. Nowadays, to a larger degree, those who raise criticisms against Islam and their religion are such people who reject the existence of God altogether. In any case, as I stated, today it is our task to prove to the world the need for religion and the existence of a living God. For it is a true Muslim alone who can undertake this task. And by attaching ourselves with the Imam of the time, it is Ahmadis alone who understand the real teachings of Islam and propagate it in the world. And they should be. This work can only be carried out by acting upon the teachings and injunctions of the Holy Quran. As I stated, that I shall say some things about those two commandments of the Holy Quran, which are mentioned in that list of commandments entailed in verses 152 and 153 of Surah Al-An'am. I am mentioning these commandments for the last few Friday sermons. Amongst those aspects that will be expounded today, the first point relates to justice and equity. Allah the Almighty states, وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَ. And when you speak, observe justice, even if the concerned person be a relative. There are different forms and ways of justice. In this respect, the Holy Quran in numerous places has provided detailed injunctions. Regarding this witness that is to be given with respect to relatives and new ones, Allah the Almighty has explained in other places clearly that not only does this entail relatives and new ones, but the one giving witness is included also in this, as are also parents. This is from a verse of Surah Al-Nisa, verse 136, in which Allah the Almighty states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ إِنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا وَإِن تَلْوُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. O ye who believe, be strict in observing justice and be witnesses for Allah, even though it be against yourselves or against parents and kindred. Whether he be rich or poor, Allah is more regardful of them both than you are. Therefore follow not low desires, so that you may be able to act equitably, that let it not be that you desist from acting justly. And if you conceal the truth or evade it, then remember that Allah is well aware of what you do. Here, a principal point has been mentioned with respect to bearing witness, that your giving witness should purely be done keeping in view the acquirement of the pleasure of Allah. And they should be in accordance with the commands of Allah. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated in one place, that establish yourself upon the truth and upon justice, and your bearing witness should be for the sake of Allah alone. So thus, in the world there is only one means of establishing justice and equity, that obtaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty should always be the predominant objective. Without this, that high standard can never be established through which injustice and the greed for personal desires can be eliminated. The promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated elsewhere, the king of all faculties is justice. If this faculty is missing from a person, then he will be deprived of everything. So therefore, for the quality of justice and equity to be in a person illuminates all his characteristics and qualities. If the aspects entailed in this verse are implemented and acted upon, that is, that in order to establish justice, a person does not even desist from giving witness against himself. He does not desist from even giving witness against his parents. And he does not desist from giving witness even against his near ones and relatives. So if this occurs, a beautiful society forms, the example of which is not found elsewhere. The need for bearing witness and testimony occurs when there is a dispute between two parties or persons. In such a circumstance, the persons involved are either asked to bear witness or witnesses are presented to give testimony. This is so that the reality and truth of the matter can become clear, to make the task of establishing justice and equity easier. If the witnesses are in themselves false, if witness is given in a deceiving manner in order to derive inappropriate rights, then the verdict of the decision maker in the matter could be wrong. It is not only that it could be incorrect, in fact, it could be extremely wrong. In this circumstance, the sin would rest upon the one giving the false witness rather than the decision maker. Some of those who give witness, not to derive personal benefit, but to give benefit to their relatives or new ones, give false witness. They make efforts to steer the decision-making body in the wrong direction. Subsequently, they become sinners. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "If one gives a false witness and then causes me to make a false verdict or decision, then this would be as if I am giving him a piece of fire." So thus one should save himself from making false statements and false witnesses, and should thus save himself from deriving a piece of fire. A true mu'min, a true believer, is one who abstains from this. In the verse of Surah Al-Nisa that I recited, verses relating to family matters are also mentioned in the verses before and after. So thus, if those people, who whether the husband or the wife, strive to derive inappropriate rights, similarly, in the state of the khula or the talaq, if the relative of the man or the woman give false witness and try to derive inappropriate benefits, it is as if they are killing justice. They may derive short-term worldly gain from this. However, there is the peace of fire. As the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, mentioned that they obtain this, which on the day of judgment then takes them to a sorry end. Allah the Almighty states that both the parties and those bearing witness, by following their personal desires, are becoming far removed from justice. So thus, do not follow your personal desires. Instead, strive to establish justice and equity. Then Allah the Almighty states, وَإِنْ تُلُوا تُؤْرِذُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. And if you conceal the truth or evade it, then remember that Allah is well aware of what you do. So thus, these false witnesses can deceive the person who is going to make the verdict. The person who is responsible for the case or matter can be deceived. He can steer the decision maker to making a decision in his favor or which is against justice. However, Allah the Almighty, who is well aware, we cannot deceive him. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the sermon of the Niqar, has especially laid emphasis upon saying the straightforward and pure word, in accordance with the Quranic verses in this regard. He has done so that at the time of forming relations and during spending lives with one another, if any problems arise, then at such a time, kulu qawlun sadida, that speaking a straightforward word, should be implemented and should never be forgotten. By not acting upon this, will lead you to becoming far removed from righteousness. It will remove you from justice and equity. It will become the means of disorder and strife in the society. In our qaza, when matters of khula and talaq are presented, then I have seen myself over some of these matters that statements are not given based on justice and the facts, nor do those giving witness give witness in this way. There is similarly financial and business transactions. In this also, some people for short-term and personal gains become far removed from righteousness and are devouring pieces of fire. This hadith of devouring pieces of fire, in this also, it mentions the property of two brothers. They came before the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said exactly this to them. Upon this, both brothers shrieked and started crying and weeping. They stated that we shall not take anything. We give up our own right and give it to the other. The Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that it is also wrong to give up your right. You have a right, then you should most certainly take that right. If you are not deciding, if you do not have any documents to prove the matter, if there are no witnesses which can be presented as proof, then draw lots. Whoever wins it can be given the share. So thus, this is the manner of deciding a matter. And this is the standard of righteousness which should be found in a moment in a true believer. May Allah the Almighty have mercy upon such people, and may He grant them wisdom. Such people who are proving to be hindrances in the establishment of justice. If on the domestic level and in matters of trade and business, witness is given based on truthfulness, and witness is given for the sake of establishing equity and justice, then our society will be an example of heaven that we can present in this world. As I stated, in the Holy Quran there are detailed injunctions with respect to equity and justice. In this light I shall present one or two more verses. In Surah Al-Nisa, Allah the Almighty states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرَكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَّا أَحْلِهَا إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Verily, Allah commands you to make over the trusts to those entitled to them, and that when you judge between men, you judge with justice. And surely excellent is that with which Allah admonishes you. Allah is all-hearing, all-seeing. The first point in this verse is to hand over trusts to those entitled to them. In this respect, some time ago, I have delivered a comprehensive sermon. that this year is a year of the election of office bearers. So therefore, not keeping in view personal desires, not keeping in view family relations, but in fact, fulfilling the requirements of justice and fulfilling the right of trusts, you should elect such office holders who can carry out their work with justice. In any case, the elections have taken place. In some places, the voters have themselves voted for those office holders who would do better. In other places, I have made some changes. Or I did not accept the recommendations of those who recommended. And if someone was doing well in their post, they were kept. For every work and task, there is a level. When a person reaches that level, and he reaches the peak of his capabilities, then that department does not progress any further. It may be the case that that same person, who is not performing that well in one place, can work better elsewhere. It is for this reason that some changes have been made. Some people presume that some were changed as a result of anger. More than anger, the benefit to the Jamaat was considered, where I considered that this was in the interest of the Jamaat for changes to be made. There, the requirements of justice entailed that in such departments, changes should be made. Only Allah knows the state of the people's hearts. We make decisions and recommendations based on the apparent state, or can only do so. However, in some local jamaats, in some countries, even now, personal preferences and also personal relationships was given precedence and office holders were elected accordingly. May Allah the Almighty grant wisdom to such people and have mercy upon them, who give personal preferences precedence over justice. In any case, these elections have taken place. Now the office holders who have been elected, it is their duty that they should present their weaknesses before Allah the Almighty. They should seek forgiveness from Allah and seek for His help. They should fulfill the requirements of justice and fulfill their responsibilities. Office is also a service. It is a grace and bounty of Allah. It should be valued and respected. In the treatment of the members of the Jamaat, in resolving the matters of the members of the Jamaat, in giving attention to the moral training of the members of the Jamaat, in order to fulfill the objectives of the Jamaat, in making programs, in all of these aspects, you should work with justice and you should endeavor and make efforts. Strive to fulfill the right of working with effort and endeavor. Because the requirement of judging between men with justice will only be fulfilled when, using all your capabilities and faculties, you discharge the work or responsibility you have been entrusted with. Every office holder is included in this, on the local level and on a national level. They should take care of all of these points. The interests and benefits of the Jamaat should take precedence and should encompass all other personal desires. Otherwise, Allah the Almighty states that He is all-seeing. Every action that you perform at every moment and at every second is in the knowledge of Allah, says He. And that is all being recorded. So thus, this opportunity that you have been gained to serve the faith, consider it a blessing and grace of Allah. And every elected office holder or appointed office holder should strive to discharge its responsibility in this manner. Allah the Almighty will also question the worldly rulers and hold them to account. So those who have been appointed for some task in the name of Allah, if they do not discharge the right of their trust, and if they do not discharge their responsibilities with justice, then they would be held to an account to a greater degree than worldly persons. So every single person should endeavor and should make efforts that whilst carrying out istighfar, while seeking help from Allah the Almighty, and whilst displaying humility, they should strive to discharge their responsibilities. May Allah the Almighty enable all office holders, all those who are serving, the ability to do this. Then we observe that in the domestic atmosphere, in business matters, in matters of office holders, after fulfilling the requirements of justice, further instructions are provided to establish justice. We find such a commandment, which the society, in fact in the entire world, provides the guarantee of establishing justice. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Verse 9, Allah the Almighty states, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kunu qawameena lillahi shuhada'i bil qist, wa la yajrimannakum shana'anu qawmin ala alla ta'dilu, i'dilu huwa akrabu lit taqwa. Wattaqullah, inna Allah khabirun bima ta'amaloon. O ye who believe, be steadfast in the cause of Allah, bearing witness in equity. And let not a people's enmity incite you to act otherwise than with justice. Be always just, that is nearer to righteousness. And fear Allah, surely Allah is aware of what you do. Look, in order to eliminate disorder and strife from the world, what a beautiful teaching this is. Those who hurl criticisms against Islam, nor in their worldly teachings or laws, or in any of their worldly education, can provide such a beautiful education in comparison. Allah the Almighty says to the believers, Kunu qawwamina lillah, that become qawwam for the sake of Allah. Qawwam means one who carries out his work in the most brilliant and excellent manner, without any shortcoming and with a permanent and consistent and constant endeavor. Thus a true mu'min, a true believer who works or endeavors, does it for the sake of Allah. He allows no slackness to come into that, or nor does he enable that to happen, and nor is there any laziness. Nor is he subjugated to any personal preferences. It says it is the work of a believer that he should give witness in support of justice. What is the standard of justice? The standard of justice is not to only dispense justice with relation to your wife and relatives. It is not only to dispense justice with your work colleagues. It is not only to be kind, to have pious intentions, and to be just with your superiors at work and also your subordinates. In fact, the standard of justice set by Allah is that you even show justice to your enemies. True taqwa, true righteousness, is acquired or obtained at that point, when one acts with justice and equity with even one's enemy. It is only then that one can acquire that standard of a true Muslim. It is only then that the avenues of tabligh, of preaching, will open. It is only then that the true teachings of Islam will become evident upon non-Muslims. Here also, at the end, Allah the Almighty has stated that Allah looks over all your actions. If this is not the standard that you are achieving, you will not be deemed to be one who is treading on the path of taqwa, on righteousness. By stating Qawwam, Allah the Almighty is commanded to remain steadfast on justice permanently. In this regard, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, Allah the Almighty has said that justice cannot be established without truthfulness being completely abided by. Allah the Almighty says in this light, La yajrimannakum shana'anu qawmin ala alla ta'dilu, i'dilu huwa akrabud lit taqwa. that let not a people's enmity incite you to act otherwise than with justice. Be always just, for that is actually righteousness. You're aware those people in those nations who unjustly give distress, be cruel to you, who kill women and children. As the disbelievers of Makkah actually did, then they do not desist from fighting. How difficult is it to act in a just manner with such people? However, the teachings of the Holy Quran have not denied the rights of even such enemies. And Allah the Almighty has said to be just and honest. He says to who he was addressing that you are extremely prejudiced. How will you understand these pure matters? Although the Gospels teach to love thy enemy, they do not teach staying firm on justice in the face of injustice and persecution by the enemy. I say most truly that to be kind and generous to the enemy is easy. But it is most difficult to protect the rights of the enemy and to stay firm on justice in disagreements and disputes. Only that person of high resolve can do this. Most people can show love to their enemy and can say very soft-spoken words to them. However, they suppress their rights. A brother loves another brother, and in the guise of his love, he deceives his brother and usurps his rights. For example, if there is a landowner, he may deceptively not write the papers in the legal documents. Those papers which are in the government record, he does not write his name on it. Yet he shows apparently so much love as if he is ready to sacrifice himself for him. So thus, in this verse, Allah the Almighty has not mentioned love. In fact, the standard of love has been mentioned. So Allah does not just say to love. Rather, he mentions that standard, which should be the standard of love. And what is that standard? It is justice. He says, because that person who is just with his deadly enemy and does not turn away from honesty and justice, it is he who truly loves. So thus, this is that standard to acquire which we should make efforts. After fulfilling the requirements of justice, which I spoke about, with respect to different societies, at different times, and with different people, then the command that Allah the Almighty gives is وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُ, and fulfill the covenant of Allah. Here attention is being drawn to another beautiful teaching of Islam and a most significant injunction of Allah, that to implement all the commands is necessary for one's moral and spiritual beauty. In the Holy Quran in various places, Allah the Almighty has openly expounded all the injunctions in accordance to different occasions and circumstances. So it is also said that for the sake of Allah the Almighty, or for the sake of acquiring Allah the Almighty's pleasure, should this work be carried out. Here it is commanded that this can happen when your hearts are clean and pure, when your hearts are filled with the passion that every act that I have to carry out should be with the consideration and thought, that I should draw attention towards every act and action, that I must fulfill the covenants that I have made with my Allah. And the biggest covenant and pledge that a mu'min or believer has made with Allah, that an Ahmadi has made, is the pledge of allegiance, the bayt. If we come to understand the reality of this pledge, then automatically attention will be drawn to discharging all the commands of Allah and to acting piously. In the conditions of bayt, the pledge that the promised Messiah alayhi salam has taken. And so collectively and comprehensively bound us, that if we from time to time repeat this, then the Ahmadi society can be eliminated from all vices. Briefly speaking, I should mention that what do we pledge in the conditions of bayt? The first point is that I shall abstain from shirk until the last breath. And shirk, associating partners with God, takes different forms. This has been explained already in depth in the Friday sermon at the outset of Ramadan. Then it is to keep away from falsehood, fornication, adultery, trespasses of the eye, debauchery, dissipation, cruelty, dishonesty, mischief, and rebellion. These were mentioned in the category of fuhasha, and that none of these things should be allowed to overwhelm or dominate a person. Then it is to be regularly in the daily prayers, to give emphasis and be regular in durood and istighfar. It is to remember the favors of Allah and to praise Him for this. Many people who have come here as a result of the circumstances in Pakistan have been bestowed a great favor by Allah the Almighty. They have been granted freedom, and financially they have been made to be much better off. So instead of this bringing about any pride or arrogance or egotism, it should lead one to the praise of Allah, should lead one to be thankful of His bounties. Then it is to not cause harm to anyone whatsoever. Then it is to remain faithful to God and to never have any complaint. When Allah the Almighty bestows bounties, one should be grateful to Him. And if one has to pass this through some trials, even then one should not ever complain. It is to free oneself from the worldly customs, and to save oneself from worldly temptations, and to act upon all the commands of Allah and His Messenger. Then it is to give up pride and vanity, and to instead adopt humbleness and meekness. It is to hold the honor of Islam dearer to a person than his children and his wealth. It is to endeavor to benefit mankind and to serve God's creation to the best of one's given abilities and powers. That is, the passion for servicing mankind should be extremely intense. Then it is said, then it is that one should establish an extraordinary relationship of love and obedience with the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and that nothing else should be given importance in comparison. So thus, this is the pledge that we have made entering into Ahmadiyyat. There is a need for us to self-assess that to what extent are we fulfilling this pledge. In Ramadan, we gain the opportunity to carry out many a virtuous deeds. You should have also analyzed, and you should do so. Today is the last day. In fact, for the entire year, we should carry out such analysis that this attention that is being drawn towards piety should be sustained. That to what extent are we acting upon these? To what degree are we fulfilling our pledge of loyalty with Allah? Allah the Almighty states, if you make this pledge, then you will be given a great reward. You will be given such a reward which you cannot even comprehend. Make this pledge and act upon it. Then Allah the Almighty also promises that when you fulfill the covenants that you have made with Allah, Allah the Almighty will also purify your hearts. He will rid it of all filth. And He will count you amongst those righteous persons. He will count you amongst those who will be His near ones, with whom Allah the Almighty loves. Do not think that if you do not fulfill your covenants, then you will only not be deserving of rewards and bounties. In fact, Allah the Almighty states, you will be questioned with regard to your covenants and pledges. This includes all types of pledges. There are pledges that are made to Allah. If one does not fulfill them, then one will be questioned about that. One who makes pledges with some person, that in accordance with the command of the Holy Quran, if this also you do not fulfill, then Allah the Almighty states, you will be held to account for it. For example, in the last week's sermon, there was a commandment that was spoken about with respect to the upbringing and nourishment of the orphans. Allah the Almighty has also said, taking care of them and being entrusted with them is also a pledge. And Allah said, if you do not fulfill this, you are breaking a pledge. And Allah the Almighty will question you about this. Similarly, in terms of rule, if somebody is not fulfilling their rights and responsibilities properly, they would also be held to account. If the rights of the public are not being discharged properly, such a person would also be held to account. Unfortunately, in the Muslim countries, we see that it is the state of all the Muslim leaders that neither do they fulfill the rights of their responsibilities with justice and equity, nor are they fulfilling or discharging the rights of the public. They are unmindful and without fear of being questioned, whereas Allah the Almighty has said, most certainly you will be questioned. The office holders have already been mentioned. They should work with justice. If they also are not fulfilling their rights, if they are not giving as much time to the Jamaat work as they should be, if they are not making decisions with consideration and reflection, if in dealings with the members of the Jamaat they are not acting in a just manner, then they would be questioned and held to account before Allah. In terms of the responsibilities of a normal Ahmadi, in terms of the pledges he has made, I've already mentioned that the conditions of the Pledge of Allegiance, if one is not striving to fulfill that, then he would be held to account before Allah. Then there is another important pledge which I would like to draw attention towards. The citizen of every country makes God a witness, or makes the Quran a witness, and makes this pledge with his country. Or if perhaps at times a person may do it just on the name of the ruler of the country, even then that is a type of pledge which is necessary to fulfill. To fulfill it and to abide by it is the duty and obligation of a Muslim. By not fulfilling it would be weakness of faith. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, love for one's country is part of one's faith. Ahmadis should reflect deeply upon the minutiae points of this statement. I am aware that some places, people who have businesses and who employ employees give them lower wages or show them to be lesser paid, so that the remaining amount can be claimed as benefit from the council. They say that we do this for your benefit. However, they are lying themselves and they are making the other employee to also lie. They are breaking a pledge themselves and making the employee also break a pledge. Practically, they are deriving personal gain. Such people use the saved money to avoid tax. This then would also cause a loss and harm to the government. It is breaking the covenant and pledge that is made with the country. By giving a lesser wage to those employees, but taking full work from them, or by taking more work beyond what they are paid, and by giving them an allowance from the council, they are also causing a loss to the national treasury. So thus, all of such things is complete injustice and wrongdoing, and the breaking of a covenant. It is breaking the pledge and promise which a citizen makes when gaining citizenship here, but it is also to break the Pledge of Allegiance, because one says that I will always act in an honest manner. So they are breaking the pledge of the government, and they are also breaking the pledge with Allah, and they are becoming sinners. So therefore, an Ahmadi in every single matter needs to carry out a self-analysis and self-scrutiny. Another vice or ill that is born out of not fulfilling the covenant, which leaves the home and destroys two homes and becomes a means of destroying two families. It is on the occasion of khula and talaq, of divorce, not abiding by the commands of Allah the Almighty. This has been mentioned previously. It is to break one's covenant. It has been mentioned previously with relation to Qawl-e Sadeed that if one acts on the right word and with justice in such matters of matrimonial affairs, then problems can be easily solved or may not even arise. However, when problems come to the fore in the relationships of dispute between the husband and the wife, the advice that Allah the Almighty has given us, that should be especially kept in view. In particular, the husband should keep this guidance in view. Allah the Almighty states, وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ وَأَتَيْتُمْ إِهْدَاهُنَّ كِنْتَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُخْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ وَقَدْ أَفْدَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. That if you desire to take one wife in place of another, and you have given one of them a treasure, take not aught therefrom. Will you take it by lying and with manifest sinfulness? And how can you take it when one of you has been alone with the other, and they, the woman, have taken from you a strong covenant? Amongst us, in matters and problems of khula and talaq, of divorce, if efforts are made to abide by this command, then those disputes that run for a long time in the qaza would not do so. Some people, after giving divorce or talaq, they also raise allegations. This is an open and manifest sin. Even if there is any truth to it, even then, the matter should be left with Allah. For that also, there are many conditions in terms of bringing forth witnesses. The second important point is that marriage is a covenant. There are pledges and promises made between the husband and the wife. There are promises that the husband and wife make to each other. Allah the Almighty states that these promises and pledges that are made in private may not have any apparent witnesses to them. However, it is necessary to still fulfill such promises made. Allah the Almighty is omnipresent. Thus, if for any reason one is ending this covenant, is ending this relationship, even then one should regard those matters that have taken place in private. Even then, those gifts that have been given should not be demanded back. And except for the case where the qazi, the judge, as a result of some open errors which he sees on the side of the woman and delivers a verdict such, the man in all circumstances otherwise should hand over the dowry. To give an excuse that because the khula has taken place, the dowry should not be given, this has no link with the haqmir, with the dowry. Such excuses should not be made. There are further details of this, however, at this time, I would only like to draw attention to the point that the man and woman should remember that marriage is a covenant. Every possible effort should be made to fulfill this. If, out of misfortune, anyone wants to end this covenant, even then, one should take care of certain matters. One should keep each other's secrets. If here, woman is given equal rights, and if Allah the Almighty has established these rights for woman, then it is also the duty of the woman that she should act in Qawl-e Sadeed, with the right word. She should act in a just manner, and to fulfill this pledge, she should discharge her domestic responsibilities. And if such a circumstance were to arise, no allegation should be raised unnecessarily against the man. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, with regards to this standard, which should be of a moment of a true believer, he states that moment, that true believer, who in his matters, whether it is in relation to Allah or in relation to God's creation, are not completely free and devoid of any responsibility. Rather, they are in a fear that they should not, in the sight of Allah, come under any blame. and take care of their trusts and their pledges most minutely. They constantly scrutinize and examine their pledges and trusts. Using the far-sightedness of righteousness, they go on looking at the inner state, lest it happens that unintentionally in their trusts and oaths there should be something wrong. Those trusts of Allah that they hold with them, for example, all the faculties, all the limbs, the life, the wealth and honor, etc., that to the maximum extent possible, to as far as possible, being bound by righteousness, they should extremely cautiously utilize that on the right occasion at the right time, and those pledges that they have made with Allah at the time of faith. With complete sincerity, devotion and fidelity, they go on making maximum efforts. Also, those trusts that they have of creation, or those things which are in the category of trust, that to the best degree of their capabilities, they do so being bound by righteousness. If there is any conflict or dispute, they keep in view taqwa and righteousness when making the verdict, even if they have to incur a loss in its way. In all actions, it is necessary to go forth with the minutest pass of taqwa. The promised Messiah said, all the spiritual beauty of a person rests upon treading on the finest points of taqwa, the minutest points of taqwa. These are the beautiful aspects of spirituality and of one's life. It is evident that taking care of the trust of Allah and of spiritual pledges and all the faculties and limbs from head to toe of a person, which overtly include the eyes, the ear, the hands, the feet and other limbs, and covertly include the heart and other faculties and morals, to the maximum degree of one's power, should be utilized on the right occasion and right time. One should refrain from using them inappropriately, and one should be warned of their concealed attacks, utilizing them wrongly, and taking care of huquq al-abad, the rights of creation. These are the ways which are linked with the person's spiritual beauty completely. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty has described taqwa, righteousness, as libas, as a covering. Thus, libas of taqwa, the garment of righteousness, is mentioned in the Holy Quran. This is an indication that spiritual beauty is born through taqwa, through righteousness. And taqwa entails that a person, in all the trusts of Allah, and in all the pledges of the faith, and in all the trusts of creation, and to take care of one's pledges to the maximum degree possible, that one should take care of the minutest details and abide by them. May Allah the Almighty enable that we tread on the path of righteousness of taqwa and act upon the commands of Allah, that we fulfill all our pledges and covenants, and that in this Ramadan, for the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah, the efforts that we have made, that with a permanent and constant endeavor, we remain steadfast upon them. To consider that just today is Jumatul Bida and to offer that, and to consider that we have done our pieties in the month of Ramadan and that is sufficient, and no more. Whereas Allah the Almighty says, a mu'min, a true believer is he who with a permanent and constant endeavor acts upon these virtuous deeds and fulfills his pledges. May Allah the Almighty enable this Ramadan to end with manifold blessings being descended upon us. And the commands of Allah that are in the Holy Quran, may to a greater degree than before, we have understanding and insight into it. I have given these examples of some of these commands so that every single one of us should search for them. It is only then that in the true sense, we can be counted amongst those who have taken benefit from Ramadan. May Allah the Almighty enable the majority of us to be those who have taken this benefit and who continue to derive this benefit.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ